Today's episode of Part of My Take is brought to you by DraftKings. We have a big U.S. Open tournament coming. Huge. And for all you Part of My Take listeners, we've got it set up. So here's what we do. You go to DraftKings.com right now and you play for free with your first deposit in the $500,000 fantasy golf contest. Top prize is 50 grand. That's code PMT. To play for free and a shot at $50,000 top prize, DraftKings.com. And it's super easy. You pick six players, and that's all you got to do. Six players before the tournament starts. There's nothing better than having a little extra incentive to watch some golf. You maybe take a nap, watch your six players, win $50,000, give it back to your favorite podcast. You don't have to do that last part, but you should. But it only can happen if you go to DraftKings.com right now and put in the promo code PMT and get it going on the U.S. Open tournament. I need you guys to do it so that you can win, so I can have some rich friends. We already have Blake Griffin as a friend. He's pretty rich. Would be nice to get a couple of you slackers out there who are listening right now to be a little bit more rich. So we don't want to feel like poor people. You go to DraftKings.com, enter promo code PMT, win that money. And we'll all be rich together. Do it right now, US Open this weekend. Get excited, stay excited. Let's go.
It's Pardon My Take, presented by Barstool Sports.
Welcome to Pardon My Take. It is Monday, June 6th. The Cavaliers are officially dead. I feel confident this time. I've done this before, and I had to eat some crow.
Remember, I think you said the Warriors were dead, right? And now the Warriors killed the Cavaliers. So the enemy of my enemy is my... Maybe the Cavs are dead by the transitive property.
Because
they got killed by a dead guy.
Here's a problem. Dante Jones played like 8 minutes in the fourth quarter tonight. That really tells you everything about the game. Not a great game for the Cavs when that happens. So they're in trouble.
Or just when James Jones gets into the game. Like whatever the opposite of a victory cigar is, that's what the Jones brothers are.
I love the because the Cavaliers have been blown out now two times, and it looks like I mean game three, what do you think? It's a lose or must win?
I'd say a combination of the two. I'd also say that a lot of people forget that it's not a series until somebody wins an away game. So good news for the Cavs, the series hasn't started yet. So my wallet is still at the queue in Cleveland. And let's not forget that they have yet to lose a home game while my wallet is in the building. So let's not count them totally out just yet. This series could go five or even six games.
Also, good news for the Cavs. Kevin Love is seemingly concussed. And if you're a Cavs fan, are you rooting for Love to miss time? I think you are.
No, I'm not.
I am, because he's such a bad fit for this series and playing anyone on defense that I might want Kevin Love not around.
I was going to say, I feel like LeBron's probably rooting for Kevin to be out with a concussion, because that way he's got something he could point his finger at and be like, we weren't healthy. He's got a little excuse there. If you're LeBron, you're making mental notes of all the excuses along the way that you can use.
Kyrie Irving has been terrible. That's a mental note. Richard Jefferson, still alive, has actually been okay. He's been like the best player on the Cavs team besides LeBron James.
We've got like two more games, I think, until it starts to reach the Perry Ellis level, where I'm just going to get sick of people talking about how old Richard Jefferson is. I'm still okay with it.
Okay.
Like, I think the jokes are still funny. You've got one more game, one solid game left of making your jokes, so get them ready.
Perry Ellis was a junior when Richard Jefferson was just regular old.
I was going to say, like, Richard Jefferson is going to have to miss a couple games to go to Perry Ellis's graduation next year, his son.
We had also a phenomenal tweet from Skip. This is the only, you know, the blowouts suck for any basketball fan who's not a Warriors fan, because I want to see a competitive finals. I love the NBA finals. It's usually my favorite 40 days of the year when they have the NBA finals. So it's disappointing that this is happening, but the one silver lining, Skip Bayless is on fire. I don't know if you've seen him. Tonight he said the only Cav playing like he really wants this is J.R. Smith. J.R. Smith was 2 for 6 with 5 points and 3 turnovers. He was a minus 22 tonight. I mean, the whole team was minus, but and in game one, he had 3 points. So J.R. Smith has played 69 minutes in the series, and he scored 8 points.
Well, I mean, that doesn't mean that he doesn't want it more, right? Like, that,
true.
I feel like that those stats you kind of cherry picked there, like there's no stat that measures his desire and his hustle. Or how many rebounds has he had?
Tonight he had 2 rebounds.
Okay. All right. Pretty nice. Now we're cooking with gas.
One of them an offensive rebound, which takes everyone knows needs more hustle.
So what Skip's basically doing is Skip got sick and tired of seeing Stephen A. Smith take his thunder. And we pretty much called this a couple of weeks ago where we said that Skip was going to fire back. Skip's got, a week and a half left at ESPN?
Yeah, something like that.
I would love to see him just like open up the floodgates, because there's something in Skip's brain that occasionally holds him back. I just want to see what totally unfiltered Skip Bayless is like over the next week.
And there's nothing that brings that out quite like LeBron choking in the finals. So speaking of LeBron and speaking of jokes you're going to get tired of, what point do we get tired of LeBron is leaving and LeBron's going to fire his whole team and all these jokes? Because I'll be honest, I don't think I'll ever get tired of him.
I'm not tired of him, and I'm on record. I wouldn't mind seeing LeBron win a championship in Cleveland. I wouldn't mind it. But if he loses this, if it's a sweep, I say, like, actually, let's get the photoshops of LeBron in different jerseys. Let's get that started. Why haven't we seen that? I want to see LeBron wearing, like, a really fucked up jersey. I want to see LeBron wearing a Spurs jersey.
Yeah.
So if we can make that happen, let's get the rumor going.
A Bucks jersey.
How many practices do you think it would take before Popovich just, like, quit if LeBron was on the Spurs?
They do that thing where they tell each other they have great basketball minds back and forth.
I don't see Popovich standing that guy in the building for 1 second.
I mean, he dealt with Manu Ginobili flopping for the last decade, so I think he can deal.
So LeBron to the Spurs, okay?
Yeah, LeBron to the Spurs. You heard it here first, exclusive. I don't even know what. Yeah, like this series sucks. I don't even know what to say. Snorkel at the Oracle, part two.
It hasn't even been a fun kind of boring game, if you know what I'm saying. Like there was nothing interesting that happened. The social media highlight of the game was there was a moderately attractive woman that was standing behind the Warriors bench that looked at Steph Curry when he came off the court.
Stephen Curry, yeah. You say Stephen Curry because they didn't say his name all night. They haven't said it all series because he's been on the bench all series. So
I guess what this is proving is that the Warriors are a better team without Steph, right?
Yeah, I've seen enough. I've seen enough, and I know enough that if you take Steph out of the Warriors, they're just as good, if not better. Do we have anything? Hockey, we have a series, thankfully.
Yeah.
Sharks? Sure. No? Okay.
No.
That's talking hockey. People are calling us the ESPN of podcast because we won't talk hockey enough. Let's do, before we get to our great interview with Blake Griffin, let's do a quick mattress ad. They're back. You're back.
Mattresses are back in business, guys. You thought the mattress craze of like late March was over? Think again. Casper is a sleep brand that created one perfect mattress sold directly to consumers. It's eliminating the commission-driven inflated prices, all the weird sales tactics that you see when you go to that lame mattress store. They've got an award-winning sleep surface. It's developed in-house. It's got a sleek design, and it's delivered in a small, how do they do that size box? You'll be amazed that they can fit a whole mattress in that tiny little space. In addition to the mattress, Casper also offers and adaptive pillow and soft, breathable sheets. The mattress industry has forced consumers into paying notoriously high markups in the past, but Casper is revolutionizing the mattress industry by cutting the cost of dealing with resellers and showrooms, and they pass that savings directly on to you. They've got an in-house team of engineers. They spent thousands of hours developing the Casper, making sure you can sleep on it, you can nap, you can fuck, you can do all the above. It combines springy latex and supportive memory foams for a sleep surface that's got just the right sink and just the right bounce. Plus, its breathable design sleeps cool to help you regulate your temperature throughout the night. If you're a night sweater, get a Casper. The mattresses, they're pretty cheap too. If you go to a store, mattress showroom, you're going to pay like $1,500 for a mattress. Caspers, they cost $500 for a twin size, $600 for a twin XL, $750 for a full, $850 for a queen, $950 for a king. And it's totally risk-free. They give you free delivery, free returns with a 100-night in-home trial. If you don't love it, they're going to pick it up. They're going to refund you everything. They obsessively engineer these mattresses to give you a great night's sleep at a shockingly fair price. The springy latex, the supportive memory foams, it's perfect. You guys are going to love it. Time Magazine, in fact, named it one of the best inventions of 2015. And in fact, it's now the most awarded mattress of the decade. So you get free shipping, free returns in the U.S. and Canada. You get that 100-night risk-free trial. And I'm going to give you $50 to buy one. Okay? All you do, you go to www.casper.com/take. That's /take. And you use the promo code T-A-K-E.
All right, we now bring on a very, very special guest, NBA All-Star Blake Griffin. We alluded to it on Friday's show. We actually bleeped out your name because we did not believe you'd actually show up. So we appreciate you showing up.
That was smart. That was very smart.
Yeah. We didn't know. You know, who knows? You might have to like do a Kia commercial and we're screwed and we're sitting here expecting Blake Griffin.
Every time we've got like a bigger name guest, we always get people saying that they don't believe us, that it's the actual guest. But you are like the Blake Griffin. You're not just like some asshole named Blake Griffin, right?
Yeah, no, I'm not just some asshole named Blake Griffin.
Yeah, let's start with some NBA Finals stuff because obviously it's on everyone's mind. We play a game on this show that we want you to join in on. All Cavs, right. Done or finished?
Cavs done or finished. It's looking pretty bad, man. I actually thought they were gonna win tonight, and it's looking pretty bad. I'm gonna say they're finished.
Ooh,
okay. But not done yet.
Finish is worse than done.
They're not done yet, but they're finished.
Okay, I like that. Do you watch this series now? Obviously, you guys, the Clippers, have had kind of a rivalry with the Warriors in the last few years. Are you rooting for the Cavs?
To be honest, I'm not. This is a hard one for me, just because we've had our history with the Warriors. I mean, it's kind of hard to root for anybody. But mm-hmm. I honestly wanted that Oklahoma City Golden State series to go another seven.
Yes,
that would have been ideal.
They would have, and Oklahoma City's got it is the big loser in all of this because I think they would have won the title if they had faced the Cavs. Do you think after watching tonight's game and seeing Steph on the bench all night? He only scored 11 points in the first game. Do you think at this point would he even get a ring if the Warriors win?
I don't know. It's something you have to address, right? I mean, I don't know. I mean, it's actually even more amazing what they're doing with Steph. I mean, yeah, Steph only – was he scored 21 in the last two?
Yeah.
Something. I don't know. Whatever it is, I mean, it's actually pretty amazing what they're doing. So, it's fun to watch, but it's kind of hard to watch at the same time.
Yeah, do you think that the Warriors would be dominating even more if Draymond Green was still like out there kicking people in the nuts? Like it seems like he's off his game. Like he's playing too good of basketball instead of being a thug.
Yeah, I mean, honestly, he hasn't had to get under anybody's skin. It's pretty much their game has done it for him. So it's cool to see the versatility of his game take over.
I've always wondered this. So when you guys get knocked out of the playoffs, obviously it was disappointing because everyone – I think your whole team got injured, right? Like every single person on your team.
Everybody at one play right after another, everybody got hurt.
Right. So you get bounced in the playoffs. Do you watch the rest of the playoffs, or are you just kind of salty and like, I don't want to watch any of this?
It depends. This year was a little different for me. Last year when we were up 3-1 against Houston and lost in horrible fashion, I couldn't watch. I couldn't watch until – I think I probably watched a little bit of the finals, but I couldn't watch the Western Conference finals. This year was different. You know, just like so many guys getting hurt. I pretty much have watched almost every game since then. It's been brutal, but I have.
Well, you guys can now say you would have won if you had stayed healthy. That's always a nice thing to do.
Yeah, no, that's the best. If you have that built-in excuse, I mean, you're home free for the rest of the summer.
So, quick question. Kevin Love got dinged up a little bit tonight, got hit in the back of the head. He has a minor concussion. Is he hurt or is he injured?
Let's see. Concussion protocol requires me to say that he is injured.
There you go. Smart injured. Answer. Yeah. I've always wondered about the protocol. Like, can you game that system where, like, at the start of the season where they give you, like, a baseline test and just act like a real big dunce so that way, you know, later on if you get hit in the head, you can – you know you're still scoring at the same level?
Yeah, I don't know. Like, now we do these computer concussion tests that are, like, hard to do even when you're not concussed. So if you're concussed and you're trying to do it, I don't know how well you're going to do it. I guess at the beginning you could, you know – mess with it a little bit, but when I was in college, I got a concussion and it was literally like you had to say some words and like remember some numbers and that was it. Now it's like this whole elaborate computer program, so I don't know.
But that's also like that's the graduation test for any Oklahoma school is just basically like name a color, right?
Yeah, all you have to do is prove you don't have a concussion and you graduate.
That's what I'm actually so pissed that you didn't play for Kelvin Sampson because I wanted to ask if you got if you had to take less money when you went pro.
Now my brother played for Kelvin Sampson for a year, but I don't think he had to take a pay cut.
Speaking of your brother, I've always wondered this older brother, you guys are very tight. Is it a little awkward because you're way better than him?
Nah, man, you know what? I owe a lot to my brother. I owe him. I really do owe him so much because he's the one that kind of like really showed me the game and showed me how to work and showed me how to get to where I'm at. And if you knew him, you'd know that he doesn't really have a jealous bone in his body. But so no, in my situation, it's not. But I have been around some people. It is a little weird.
So in my family, I'm the less talented brother. So what I like to do is I resort to more dirty play and scrappy and dirty. You know, I try to rough him up a little bit. Is your brother the same way when you guys were playing one on one? Would he like take some cheap shots at you?
Yeah, we had pretty much there was a period in our lives where every single game we ever played ended in a fight. And at the time, it was probably more my fault. I probably instigated a lot of those fights. I was out there Draymonding people. I got to take that. I got to take that one, too. I was the younger brother and I was the dirty one. So I didn't have much going for me at the time.
So the Olympics are right around the corner now. You're not going to play on Team USA. Is that because you're scared of the Zika virus or because you don't love the United States?
More so at first it was the United States thing. And then I realized that the Zika virus was my built in out. So I was like, all right, I don't even have to play anymore. I can just chalk it up to Zika. I heard Powell's not going to play because he doesn't want the Zika.
I'm not going to play either. I'm taking that card off the table. So, Coach K, if you're listening, sorry.
Smart.
But Mark is, so that's kind of awkward. I don't really understand how that works out with another situation there.
Yeah, I don't. That's got to be a tough conversation.
I would pass as well. I Rio, come on.
I was okay with it until the oral sex thing. Like the straight up sexually transmitted Zika stuff, that was cool. Now they say the oral sex is doing it too. Sorry.
That's a game changer for Zika virus.
Not my
favorite. All right. So playing in LA, have you ever like just thought about dating a Kardashian?
I haven't. The opportunity's never been presented to me. And I also
that's a lie. Also,
you could make it happen if you wanted it enough. Like they're one phone call away. Which Kardashian's phone number do you have in your phone right now?
I don't have any, man. I don't have any.
That's fine. God, I wish you're being too humble. We'll cut out the part where you're humble and let's go to like, you know, like Blake Griffin. Here's where we can get you to not be humble.
All right.
Dunking on people. Is it as cool as it looks for the regular, like, fat white blogger sitting on the couch?
It's pretty exhilarating. I'm not gonna lie. It's a good time. I don't know, man. Like, it all happens so fast. It really does. Like, I never really think about it. You got to kind of watch it on film afterwards to see if it was actually good or not. So I've had some where I thought it was good, and then I realized it wasn't. And then I've had some where I didn't think it was good, and I thought it was better afterwards. So it's pretty exhilarating.
So the NBA dunk contest used to be awesome. And when you were in it, it was pretty cool. You jumped over the car. It would have been better if it was, like, driving at you when you did it. But it's kind of cool that you jumped over a car. Why don't more athletes participate in it? Like, are they scared to just look like idiots and miss dunks?
I'm not sure, man. When I did it, it was kind of the hood of the car. I wanted to jump over a convertible, but I wasn't allowed to. It had to be a Kia Optima. So
we jumped over. Was Kia pissed off when you named your child Ford?
You know what's crazy is I actually got an email asking about that, asking why I named my kid Ford, and I, you know, I was like, I mean, it seems like a pretty common American name. It's not like I named him Hyundai or Toyota. So that was actually a thing I had to deal with.
It was from Darren Revelle, right? It was obviously Darren Revelle.
Yeah, it was Darren Revelle, inside scoop.
Wait, so all right, so you jump over, so you wanted to do a convertible.
Yeah, I wanted to have like Baron Davis and some of my teammates roll out in a convertible and then just toss it straight up and then jump over the whole thing instead of just the hood. But I mean, I don't know if you guys have stood next to a Kia Optima, but it's a pretty tall vehicle, and there's no way I was going to make it over the entire thing, over Baron Davis in the sunroof, so I opted for the hood. And then everyone was pissed that I jumped over the hood. Like, that was super easy, so it was just a lose-lose situation for me.
That's why LeBron doesn't do dunk contests.
Yeah. I mean,
that's it right there.
It also would have been cool if it was like Snoop Dogg that rolled out in the car. And like, he was hotboxing it, and he cracked the sunroof, and just like a little bit of smoke came out.
Just a billow of smoke coming out.
Have you ever hung out with Snoop Dogg?
No, not really. I wouldn't say hang out. I played in his flag football charity game. Him and Matt Barnes have a flag football charity game every year in the summer, and played in that a couple times. Snoop's not a bad athlete. Kind of sneaky quick for his frame.
I believe that. But I think that's going to be our new way of asking people if they smoke weed. Just be like, hey, have you ever hung out with Snoop Dogg? Because if you say yes, then like, you've obviously smoked.
But I said charity game, so that
yeah,
doesn't.
Charity. So that was a loophole by you.
Yep. So tell me about this. Like, what type of event? How organized is an event that's hosted by Snoop Dogg and Matt Barnes?
Well, the first year it was pure chaos, and the second year it was a little bit more controlled, better venue, but it's still a little chaotic. But, you know, it's all about charity. It's all about charity.
It's all for the kids.
It's for the kids, man.
Austin Rivers, do you guys give him shit because he's the coach's son?
No, I can't say that we do. It's an interesting dynamic. I wondered how it would be when we traded for him, but it really is like one of those situations where you don't even really feel like it's weird at all. And no, he didn't really get much. He didn't get much. I mean, he doesn't really deserve much, but at least from the team anyway. But no, he didn't get much.
Are you sending a message to JJ Redick by appearing on our podcast before his?
Yes. I forgot about that.
A little subtle jab. He talked to me about it early on and never followed up with the request. And you guys came in, you requested early on and followed through. And I said, hey, I'm going with my Pardon My Take podcast.
Yes. Well, you're a recurring guest now. So that's the best part. Once we get you once, you have to come back again. JJ stole Adam Morrison from us. So this is our payback because we broke the Adam Morrison bunker story. And then he scooped him up before we could get Adam Morrison on.
Wow, I didn't realize that.
Yeah.
So if you really want to stick it to JJ right now, like, do you have any crazy stories about teammates that you can tell us that'll get picked up by the national news?
Anyone have a bunker on the Clippers?
Nobody's got a bunker on the Clippers. Let me think.
Bunkers are hot. Like, you talk about apocalypse bunker, everyone goes crazy.
Didn't Robert Swift have a bunker?
Oh.
I never played. Do you know what I'm talking about?
He does now.
Remember, like, he got arrested a while ago for, like, I don't know, something crazy. He had, like, so many guns and, like, ammunition. I want to say he had an apocalypse bunker, but maybe I'm mixing up my stories.
Could be Delonte West, too.
Could be a lot of people.
Here's a teammate question that maybe could make some headlines. Does Chris Paul practice punching people in the dick during practice?
No, I've never witnessed that ever. Never. I'm staying away from that one.
You don't want to get punched in the dick. That's a smart move, man. I've
never witnessed anything of that matter.
So you've practiced with Team USA in the past. What do you see LeBron James doing to, like, as a leader to try to turn this around? Like, what's the most passive aggressive leadership technique he's used that has worked with you?
There's not a lot of leadership techniques used in Team USA practices, mostly because we don't really play games, so we're never really down or up. I don't know. That's a good question. I was kind of thinking about what the Cavs' next move is going to be, going home. Like, how do they regroup after this?
You've been in some pretty heated playoff series. Like, what is the day to day? I've always wondered this. What is the day to day for the team like? Is everyone together the entire time during the playoffs? Are you guys really, like, close? And is a lot of, like, time, like, you like family and friends is just a distraction that you kind of try to zone out during the playoffs?
Yeah, I think, like, sometimes, like, you know, in the first round, like, some family will travel on the road and at home are a little bit different. Like, playoffs, you know, you're not doing any contact in practice. It's a whole lot of watching film. It's a whole lot of getting treatment for guys who are banged up. And then, you know, you might get up shots depending on how healthy you are or not. So, like, the playoffs is just all mental. On those off days, you're thinking about changes you need to make, and then you're also kind of worried about making too many changes. So it's a big, like, mental test. So I wouldn't say guys are just hanging out. I saw some pics where the Cavs were out and about last night or maybe the night before or something. And we've never done that, like, in the playoffs, like, gone out and, like, you know, went to hang out the night before a game. But you're all together, like, in the hotel. I mean, there's nothing else to do. Like, you know, just in the hotel eating and watching film, watching the other games, stuff like that.
So jumping back to last offseason, what was it like when you kidnapped DeAndre Jordan? Like, did you send any ransom text to Mark Cuban or what?
I didn't send any text to him. I was actually just telling this story. It was such a weird thing. Because we went over to his house at, like, you know, 1 o'clock, 12 o'clock in the afternoon, and we just kind of, like, sat there and talked for a second, and it, you know, it was completely blown out of proportion. Like, it wasn't anything like it was. It sounded like, but
it was more of an abduction. Yeah,
it was more of a high speed kidnapping, lock him in his house type of thing.
Who went to his house?
It was me, Doc Rivers, Steve Ballmer, Chris Paul, J.J. Redick, Paul Pierce, and am I missing somebody? I think that's it.
That sounds totally blown out of proportion. That's no big deal.
It's probably team. So
we get there, and we meet for like an hour, and then, you know, it was like, okay, he was going to sign with us, and then it was still like 2 o'clock in the afternoon, and he couldn't sign until midnight. So we kind of looked at each other, and Doc was like, all right, well, we're not leaving until he signs. So we're just sitting in there. Like, I went in and, like, took a nap in one of his, like, movie room, and Ballmer, like, ordered food for everybody, played some cards. It was just so that's when I had the idea of, like, doing all the stupid pictures on Twitter that people were so mad at. But that was a good time.
It was one of the best, like, random internet days out of nowhere, especially in the summer when it gets kind of slow and everyone was tweeting stuff. That's actually when I tweeted at you, and you first, I was like, whoa, Blake Griffin actually knows who we are. So that was that brought us all together.
That's when it all started.
Did Steve Ballmer have to bring, like, was he freaking out because he didn't have a change of shirt and he started, like, pitting out?
No, he was uncharacteristically calm the entire time.
Really?
Very calm, very, very reserved. He was total professional.
I'm, like, a huge, huge Steve Ballmer fan. I love him. I think he is – if I were an owner, I would act exactly like Steve Ballmer, just like going crazy, dunking at halftime, doing all that stuff. Have you, like, do you get to spend any alone time with him? Do you have any good stories about, you know, Ballmer, the crazy man?
I don't. You know what? He's obviously a very smart guy. And that like what you see like during games and stuff is like he's actually, that's him. Like, he's actually very passionate. But like one-on-one time, you know, you can sit and have like a regular conversation with him. And that's what I like about, you know, having an owner like that. Like, he's just somewhat of a normal dude who's worth $24 billion or whatever.
Totally normal.
And he makes you use Windows phones, right?
He doesn't, but I always feel weird pulling out my iPhone in front of him. Like, I will not look at, like, if he asks me to like show him a picture or something, I will refuse. I feel weird showing him that I have an iPhone.
And I bet your old owner Sterling was probably a pretty sweetheart to hang around with too, right?
Yeah, he was. Now that's a guy. He was a good time. That was a lot of fun.
So he used to party with you guys?
No, he never partied with us, but he did make us go. He would always throw this white party out in Malibu every year. And the first time I went, so you have to wear all white. It's at his house, like beautiful house in Malibu on the beach. And I show up and this dude is wearing all black. Everyone else at his party is wearing all white. And for like an hour and a half, he like walked me around by hand and introduced me to a lot of the people at the party. And it was tough. I remember looking up and this one guy just looked at me and goes, "Hey man, just keep smiling, dude. It'll all be over soon." And
I am shocked that Donald Sterling would have an all white party. That sounds completely out of character for him.
Yeah.
That was actually going to be my final question. So we'll just go to that right now. Was Donald Sterling, like, when he met your parents, was he nice to your mom and mean to your dad?
Honestly, I don't even know if he met my parents, but that would make a lot of sense. Yeah. Most of the time, he, like, one day he'd be super nice to me and the next day he'd just be like, he didn't even know me. So I'm sure he was conflicted with my mixed race origin.
Oh man, that's you guys, the Clippers have had in the last, I mean, since you've been there, have had quite the roller coaster in terms of the franchise, the coaches, the owners. Yeah. It's been a wild ride.
It has. It's been a very wild ride. Go ahead.
Would Donald ever, like, would he whisper in the coach's ear, like, "Hey, put in Spencer Hawes"?
No, because most of the time Spencer was playing for the other team when Donald Sterling was with us.
Stump.
Got you there. Should have done more research.
What was Dante Jones like as a teammate? He was a teammate of mine too.
He's a scrapper. He's a fighter, man. That guy, I mean, he just, to his credit, dude, he keeps getting on NBA teams and look, he's in the finals now. What can you say?
I mean, he needs his enforcer. I was his enforcer. I was his, you know, his cape.
What was that fight all about? What was that like?
So we were up like 10 and Dante did like a windmill dunk with time expiring in a guy's face. So nice. He was kind of a dick, but that's I like that. You got to play with an edge, you know.
Yeah, yeah. That's how you make that's how you make NBA rosters.
Right. Exactly.
Personal question here: is it too late for me to learn how to dunk? I'm 31.
What's your vertical like? What are we looking at?
I got a pretty solid vert. Like, I'm not gonna lie, it's a pretty good vertical. Maybe like 28 inches. But I'm 5'8", so.
Oh, so you're still missing a few inches.
Yeah.
I don't know. I don't think it's too late. I mean, maybe.
What if I did steroids?
Oh, yeah, for sure. You're in there.
Okay. Do you know somebody I can buy steroids from?
Oh, no, I don't. That's where.
That's where you got a little me. Journalism trick on my part.
Hey, that was good. A little slow build up, a little subtle build up.
Man. Is anyone on Team USA or the Clippers or
or
anyone you don't like in the NBA that you want to name?
You want to break the steroid story real quick?
Yeah, no, yeah. Just drop us the steroid story you just tell at the bar when you're with your friends.
the NBA players use steroids. I feel like it wouldn't be that beneficial. Like, it doesn't matter how strong you are.
I'm convinced there's got to be like some special drug that makes you live to be forever, and a million, you know, and way stronger than you are. So I think there's like a rich person's drug that's out there that probably LeBron's using, not to name names, LeBron James. But, yeah, so someone out there has got that drug. I would like a piece of it.
Yeah, well, hey, if I figure out anything, I'll let you know.
All right, let's wrap it up. Since we already did the final question about Donald Sterling, let's do the second final question we always do.
Mm-hmm.
Most famous person in your cell phone.
Oh, man. This is where we got to call somebody.
Yes, you know.
I know. You guys want to call Donald Sterling?
Yes.
Yes.
All right. I mean, no promises here, but.
I'm shocked that Donald Sterling has a phone, to be honest.
We might want to tell him that he's being recorded, that he's running into a little problems.
All right. Let's see. Let's give it a try here. All right.
Let's ask him if his refrigerator's running. Let's just prank call them. To talk to him.
There's no shot he picks up his. But also, by the way, I've never spoken to him on the phone ever.
Your call has been forwarded to.
I'll let you guys know if I hear back from him.
Yeah, please do. We want to hear the follow up, and next time we'll leave a message for him too.
Yeah.
Oh, actually, that's probably yeah. We can do that next time.
DeAndre Jordan, how many free throws for real does he make in practice?
I mean, how many is he shooting?
100.
Oh, boy. I don't know. Honestly, he goes over and shoots on the side after we're done and everybody else is shooting. I'd probably say he probably shoots at least 60% in practice, maybe more.
Has he ever thought about going underhand?
I don't think so. I don't think so. I can suggest that to him.
Yes, please do.
I have a quick suggestion for him. This comes from watching Major League 2 when the catcher couldn't throw back to the pitcher correctly, so he just started reciting facts from Playboy magazine because he read a lot of Playboy. Maybe DeAndre needs to watch a little bit more porn.
Ooh, I don't know.
I mean, it wouldn't hurt, is what I'm saying.
I know this guy pretty well. I don't know if we can, squeeze any more time in.
I do think though going underhand would be great because even if he misses underhand, he's got the narrative off of DeAndre Jordan sucks at shooting free throws. Now it's just DeAndre Jordan shoots free throws in a weird way.
Yeah, I mean, have you like realistically how many underhand free throws could you make out of 10 right now?
Oh, probably two. Like I was gonna say four.
Like it seems like it'd be easier than it probably is.
Well, it just seems to me that like a guy like that, DeAndre's the way he's shooting, it comes off the rim so hard that it might not be he might not make as many. He'll get better rolls when he goes underhand, you know, because it'll just be softer.
Yeah, I mean, I see your point. I mean, he's working on him, so I don't want to discourage.
I'm kind of a basketball mind, whatever. I actually do have one final question. Do you think? Yeah. Do you think the Warriors will stop winning when they finally make moving screens illegal because that's all they do?
I mean, I feel like moving screens are just a part of like KG is like the number one, the best guy ever at moving screens. Never gets called for him. So I don't know. I mean, there's a lot of guys that set moving screens.
You should see me play pickup. I'm pretty damn good at moving screens.
I believe that.
What are the chances that we can get like a little discount when you guys put the ads on your jersey to get like part of my take as the Clipper sponsor?
You want like a PMT on our jerseys?
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, or just our faces.
Yeah. Okay. I can talk to somebody.
To Palmer. Talk to Palmer. Tell him we'll get those stupid phones he sells.
That's a start. That's a start.
All right. Blake, we really appreciate it. You are now a recurring guest. So awesome. Thank you, and we can't wait to have you back.
Oh, thank you, guys.
All right, let's get into some segments. Let's start with thoughts and prayers for Muhammad Ali. He died.
R.I.P.
So that was our thoughts and prayers for Muhammad Ali. Realistically here, I mean, we joke a lot on this podcast, but obviously it's a significant moment. I would say Muhammad Ali, most popular athlete of all time. It's probably Muhammad Ali 1, Michael Jordan 2, and there's not really a third.
Yeah.
In terms of global reach.
If we were to do who's now, like right. ESPN Sports Center style, who's now, like who's the last 50 years?
Who's now forever?
Yeah. Muhammad Ali is probably number one. Seabiscuit's a close second, and then Michael Jordan number three. Muhammad Ali, like the dude was, he had a global reach. He rope-a-dope death for 30 years.
Yes.
I thought he was going to die back in like, remember when he lit that torch in Atlanta?
Yeah. So actually that's a good, it's a good thing to bring up because I think it's disingenuous when guys our age and younger pretend like this is like some shocking moment and it's rattled us to our core. We never watched Muhammad Ali box. We grew up on Mike Tyson biting Evander Holyfield and Lennox Lewis, like boring us to death. So I'm not going to pretend that I watched Muhammad Ali or remember Muhammad Ali, but the generation before our fathers, I know my dad like made me watch When We Were Kings, the documentary about, you know, the thrill in Manila. So I think that that generation obviously had such an affection for him that it kind of got passed down to us a little bit. So it's definitely a significant moment. It probably, in terms of deaths, where would it rank? In sports deaths, I mean, it's basically
Muhammad Ali and Prince losing those two guys within like the same couple months. Like what Prince was to funk music, to soul, Muhammad Ali was to boxing. 95% of people out there love Muhammad Ali, but then you get the 5% who love their takes so very deeply.
Wait, I know you have some good takes. Before we get to the takes, though, let's just talk for a second about what the internet does every time there's a death, because there's like a few step process that it goes through. Step one is always everyone goes to Google Images and searches the person's name, takes that picture and tweets it. That's like good for at least 200 retweets every time. That's just an instant. Don't even maybe throw in a rip, maybe throw in a thoughts and prayers. But you throw that out there and you're like, you put it in and then you hear the cash register go around for the favorites and the retweets with the Muhammad Ali stuff.
What happens is anytime that there's a celebrity that passes away and people like they see it coming. Like with Muhammad Ali, the internet, all news channels have had their like Muhammad Ali just passed away thing written for the last 25 years.
Right.
They've been prepared for it. So the first wave is like the straight up RIP Muhammad. You were a great fighter, possibly like, you know, the greatest of all time, mercurial in certain aspects of your life, but pretty straightforward obituary. And then after that, you get
wave. Yeah.
Well, the second wave is people who try really, really hard to care way more about the death than they actually do.
Like I just had to take a long walk outside when I heard the news of Muhammad Ali, or people, when Prince died, people were saying, you know, Purple Rain was the song I lost my virginity to, so it means more to me than it's ever meant to any person ever, period. Now please retweet me and tell me that you're sorry for my loss.
Or like Muhammad Ali gave me the courage to fight my traffic ticket in court when I was pulled over for going 9 miles an hour of the speed limit.
Yeah.
Like, thank you, Muhammad. I appreciate you standing up to the man for me.
That's an important wave for sure. You always need that people that take it way too serious and really they were personal friends with Muhammad Ali even though they never met him. Right. And they need you to know that. Now three.
Three is actually Muhammad Ali wasn't that great of a person. The people who say, well, actually, you remember he dodged the draft. And in reality, he didn't dodge the draft. I guess it depends on what you say dodging the draft is. He didn't go to Canada. His famous line was like, I'm not going to Canada. I'm staying right here. I'm just not going to fight in this war. Here's number four. Number four is, why do we mourn Muhammad Ali's death when a soldier died overseas today?
Yes. Okay. So that's a good link to, I don't know if you saw, I was retweeting this guy on Friday night. He was using Muhammad Ali's death to get back on the soapbox against Bruce Jenner. So he was replying to everyone saying Sports Illustrated needs to put this great legend on the next cover, not stupid ass Jenner. So
I actually have respect for people who are still upset about like the Bruce Jenner, Caitlyn Jenner thing, because to have that much anger over something that has no impact on your life this far after it's kind of occurred, those are the real heroes. Those are the real MVPs to me. This guy has been waiting for Muhammad Ali to die to then make his point that's been stuffed in a, you know, in the back pocket for the last 6 months about Caitlyn Jenner.
Yeah, absolutely. I love the fact that, like, that's probably 99% of that guy's tweets are about Bruce Jenner. Like, he's tying everything. He's connecting all that. He's like Carrie Bradshaw in Homeland when she's going on one of her psychopathic rages, and she's got the wall set up, and she's got all the pieces of yarn, like, going over Berlin, Syria, California, New York, D.C., and they all connect to Bruce Jenner's picture at the middle.
My guess is, though, that guy, as soon as he like went and read Muhammad Ali's Wikipedia and then realized he dodged the draft, he was like, oh, maybe I'm going to walk back on my Muhammad Ali is a legend thing. Maybe he'll just get a mention in Sports Illustrated.
What I love about Muhammad Ali is he was such a badass that people waited until after he died to like put out their takes against him, because they were still afraid, even though he's had Parkinson's for like 30 years, they were still afraid that he would come kick their ass if they wrote something bad about him.
Well, I mean, he did have the saying, "I'm so bad, I make medicine sick." So a man who says that, who can come up with that, I would wait till he dies before I start talking shit. We also forgot a very important step. It's the people who are exposed for their pretend to care, and they're exposed for being frauds by either misspelling it wrong, his name wrong, saw a lot of Muhammad Ali spelled wrong, or they just butcher one of his phrases. We had Emmett Smith chime in. He said, "Sting like a butterfly," because everyone knows butterflies love to sting people. "Float like a bee." Nobody, K-N-O-W. Nobody in the world will ever be as bad as Muhammad Ali.
That's there's no way that's actually true. Emmett Smith did not say that.
I screenshotted it because I knew he was going to delete it.
Are you shitting me?
"Sting like a butterfly."
Like, that's something that I would write like a misattributed quote about Emmett Smith, and then I would go back and delete it and be like, no, that's too on the nose.
Yeah, right. That's you're too close to that one. I also, we should give a little shout out to the Miami Marlins owner so the story went that he, during the Marlins game, all of, you know, maybe 500 people there, on Friday night, he announced on the Jumbotron that Muhammad Ali passed. It had not been announced to the regular world. And there was a moment in time where everyone was kind of laughing at the Marlins, saying, look at these idiots for saying Muhammad Ali's dead, even though he's not. And the guy, I think it was the owner or the GM, said, no, we're standing by this. Turns out he died. That's a big win. Like, I would puff my chest out on that one. To be the first to death is awesome. But
here's the thing. We don't know how many cuts that the Marlins have taken and whiffed on.
Yeah, right,
right. Because, like you mentioned, they have, like, you know, just a few hundred people that go to their games. If I'm the Marlins, I am breaking news all the time, like news that I think is going to happen. And then, you know, once every 100 times, I'm going to hit the nail on the head and I'm going to look like geniuses. Like, that's how TMZ, they gained legitimacy when they actually called the Michael Jackson death.
Right.
So, like, if you're the Marlins, it's a copycat league. You know, next time you're going to be like, first to report, Bill Murray died of alcohol poisoning.
Yeah. Justin Bieber arrested.
Yeah, I guess that's probably a better one than that. I went to a dark place.
Cool. Yeah, right.
But, like, yeah, Justin Bieber arrested with his dad in L.A.
Yeah.
And then eventually you get it right.
And then the final step that we have to mention, the must reads. I've seen about, I don't know, between 100 and 150 must reads on Muhammad Ali. There's so many must reads, I'm going to be reading for the rest of my life. I'm going to die reading about Muhammad Ali's death.
Well, you know that Muhammad Ali was the original GOAT, right? People always have the debate, who's the GOAT?
It's true.
He had the book called The GOAT.
Yeah, so. And he called himself the greatest. It is a big moment, but yeah, the celebrity deaths, always an interesting thing to watch on Twitter. I usually try to stay out of the whole thing, kind of sit back and let it
Don't make it about yourself.
Right, because really, that's really...
That's all anybody's doing, is being like... Everybody, I know Muhammad Ali died, but here's what I think about it. And so,
or it's bragging and being like, I know that Muhammad Ali died and you don't yet.
Yeah.
It will not be complete, though. Step eight. I think we're at step eight. We still need either a John Heyman or a Peter King tweet connecting Muhammad Ali to their personal life in some weird random way. And then, and only then, will Muhammad Ali be officially dead in my mind.
Peter, yeah, if somebody dies and Peter King does not tell somebody in the service industry about it, did it ever really happen? So it's tune in to tomorrow's MMQB to find out exactly, because you know that Peter King, like, he won't make that same mistake twice where he actually, like, tweets about telling the server. But I guarantee you, by the time you're reading this tomorrow, or by the time you're listening to this tomorrow, the MMQB will have a story about Peter King making it about himself somehow.
Yes. Muhammad Ali in front of him at a Starbucks. Just said Muhammad. Just used the name Muhammad. Didn't say greatest of all time.
What a classy guy.
All right, let's transition into a little talking soccer. We had the boys in blue, red, white, and blue on Friday night. Big 2-0 loss to, I don't even remember the country anymore. And that was talking soccer. I'll tell you what, man. This is the summer it catches on. You watch. Some people have called it the summer of soccer.
This is when soccer takes over the United States?
Yep, yep.
I think so. Feels like this is the one.
Well, they need to win. They need a win or a tie for it. A tie would be just as good. If they could get a big tie against, like, a Brazil or something, that's the launching point for soccer being the biggest sport in America.
So I watched the Brazil game. Now, I don't want to lie. I'm lying to you guys right now. I did not watch the Brazil game. Okay. I was in a bar last night, and the Brazil game was on in the corner. And I got really confused because it's Brazil versus Ecuador. And Brazil was wearing a blue jersey and Ecuador was wearing a yellow jersey. So, like, the whole game, I had no idea what was going on. I think the players were confused too. So it ended up being a 0-0 tie.
That was talking soccer. Oh, man. All right. Quickly, I want to talk about this spin zone real quick. LeBron. It's actually, we don't have to spin zone it because LeBron already spin zoned it himself. He said on Sunday that I'm one of the lower guys on the totem pole in the Cavs organization. And he said LeBron made this analogy. He's the offensive coordinator. Lou is the head coach. And Kyrie is the QB with the plays on his wrist. So LeBron, the guy who got a coach fired, basically picked his team. Made Dan Gilbert get on his knees and apologize for the Comic Sans letter. And if you ask Darren Revelle, is worth $400 billion to the Cleveland economy, is saying he's one of the lowest guys on the totem pole in the Cavs organization. So this makes me believe that LeBron is actually everyone's shitty boss. You know what I'm talking about. When the boss walks in and it's guys just hanging out, and he says, no, guys, keep talking like I'm not here. I'm just one of you guys. Let's just joke like we're the guys. And then everyone tightens up and can't tell the same jokes and can't talk the same shit. That's what LeBron does every time he goes to the locker room. He says, I'm just the lowest guy on the totem pole. Don't worry about me. Carry on as you were. And everyone has to basically mumble behind his back and be scared of him at all times.
Right. But the thing about that is when your boss does that to you, he's got a boss on top of him, right? That he's trying to protect himself from, like, in case the shit hits the fan, he's like, no, I'm just like, I'm one of the guys. Like, I'm with the people down here. It's their fault that I screwed everything up. With LeBron, who is he trying to protect himself from by saying, like, he's just one of the guys? He's trying to protect himself from, like, what everybody else in America thinks of him. Right.
Right.
So this is why I don't have as much of a problem with LeBron as you do and as Dave does, because I think that LeBron's just been screwed over. Like I said, the guy peaked in high school. He was back in like 11th, 12th grade being put in the center of the universe, and he had people around him telling him that he was the best. So, like, he hasn't really learned how to deal with any sort of adverse. He has no grit. LeBron has no grit, but it's not from his own – it's not his own fault. I feel like he's just, like, flailing in every direction. He just wants everyone to treat him normal. Exactly. He looks at the world like he's on Tinder with everybody else on the planet, and he's trying super hard to connect. And if somebody swipes left on him, he gets really offended by that.
He's just Braun, kid from Akron. Just treat him normally. That's what he wants, basically.
You know how mad until he would starts get, by the way?
Until like he starts flopping and wants preferential treatment from every single ref and wants all the calls and wants all his teammates to be unbelievable and not and people not to get mad when he throws them all under the bus.
Can you imagine like what he how he would react if everybody treated him like he was the fourth best player on that team? Like how fucking pissed off he would get. He says he wants it, but like he would honestly like he would throw a 3-year-old temper tantrum and just like fall on the ground and start like crying. And start flailing his arms and legs everywhere.
So that's LeBron's spin zone. He spin zoned himself straight off the earth. Good job, LeBron. Really excited for the rest of the finals. Let's quickly go to PR 101. This is actually just breaking news. Aqib Talib got shot at a Dallas strip club at 4:30 a.m. on Sunday. So he's going to need our help. We're going to have to help him get out of this one. Let's hear it.
First, it's pretty funny that we're doing like a spin zone to help a guy that got shot. Like, it's not he's not the guy that shot somebody; he's a victim. But we're still gonna PR him.
But this is kind of a trouble finds you situation.
There you go. Step number one is to put a U after the Q in your name because that just confuses everybody. I can't even say how many times I've written something about Aqib Talib and had to go back and like take the U out because. There's no you there. Second, you need to tell everybody that you got shot in a bar, not a nightclub. All the reports out there.
Strip club is a bad spot. Yeah.
Well, I don't even think that they're saying strip club. They're saying nightclub. And I think this is one of those things where it's like, if it's a white guy, he's gritty. If it's a black guy, he's athletic. Every time you hear about a black guy getting in trouble, they say it's in a nightclub. If it's a white guy, it's in a bar. Right. I don't know why. So he needs to go and say, first things first, this happened in a bar.
It's not lying. The bar, it serves drinks, does it not? So there happened to be some naked chicks there. It still serves drinks. It's still a bar. You were at the bar part of the strip club.
Well, do we even know it was a strip club?
Yeah, it was a strip club.
Okay. Which strip? Which one was it? Was it Jaguars? Because that's a good place.
No, I don't know. I don't know.
Okay. All right. So that's number one. Number two is the Broncos are going to go meet Obama tomorrow. And Talib can't make it. So just say that you're a sovereign citizen like Tim Thomas and that you don't want to hang out with Obama and that's why you're not going.
Okay. Or go see Obama with the crutches, little Forrest Gump action. I don't know. Maybe people will see you with crutches. You're like, wow, he went and saw the president 2 days after getting shot. What a hero. I think that actually might be the move.
I love my country so much
that I'll get shot at a strip club one day and then get on a flight, rip the IVs out, make a whole scene of it, show up, maybe even bleed, like bleed through your suit in front of Obama. I love my country this much.
Exactly. It's like in The Office when Michael Scott was wheeling Phyllis's dad down the aisle.
Yeah.
And he gets up, like show up to the White House in your wheelchair. Have a guy pushing you and then say, no, I'm going to shake the president's hand on my feet. And then you stand up and you shake his hand.
I hope at least you got to go to the boom boom room because that would suck if you like went to the strip club and it was too packed that you had to stay out in front and had, you know, maybe got like one of those like $20 lap dances and then got shot on the way out. That'd be a real bummer.
How mad is Goodell right now? If there's one thing that Goodell hates, it's strip clubs.
Yes. Yes.
More than anything else, just stay. If you're an NFL player, like get a house stripper. They're better. Yes. It's a better use of your money.
Start your own strip club in your house. I like
you
that.
Have a teammate that's got a stripper pole in the basement. Go to his house.
Here's another spin zone that's just easy. Pac-Man Jones. I'm pretty sure you got a guy paralyzed and maybe even killed at a strip club. He's had a really nice year last year. So just go that model. You have a bounce back. People have come back from – it's like knee injuries and strip club shootings. People can come back from those things.
So you're saying, in other words, like Talib may have just extended his career by like 7 years.
Yes, because now he can get that really sappy E30 with Jeremy Schapp, and they're sitting in the room like, what do we think about Aqib Talib? He got shot, and now he's playing well again, and boom, he's back in the forefront.
Chance.
Yeah.
A second chance is worth like two more contracts. So
yes.
Smart move on Talib's part getting shot because now he gets like an opportunity to prove himself again.
Right. All right. Quickly, Olympic update I have for you. Two things. Jason Day is considering skipping, so that's another big name. We had Pau Gasol last week. The big names just keep piling up. Here is a problem. This is actually something that could derail the Olympics. Scientists said the Zika may be transmitted by oral sex. And if you're an Olympic athlete and you can't fucking suck your way through Rio, what's the point in going?
Well, here's the thing, dude. Every year we get the report of like 6,000 condoms delivered to the Olympic Village, right?
Way more than that. It's like 6 million.
That's something that happens every year. You never hear about how many dental dams are delivered to the Olympic Village. So, like, there's a big chance of...
I'm sexist.
Yeah, exactly. Very sexist. So, yeah, there's like, a big risk of... I don't want to go anymore now that I know that, like, why else am I going to go to Brazil if not for the oral sex? Like, that's right. That's why you go.
That's why everyone goes to Brazil. But this is actually the first time you can overcome the poop water, you can overcome the corruption, you can overcome the crime... But the point remains, if you can't get your dick sucked or the other way, eat some vagina. Sorry to be crude to everyone at home. I want that explicit tag by our bad boy Bill Simmons has his explicit tag on his podcast, so we need to start doing more of this. If you can't get your dick sucked or eat some vagina, there's no point in going to Rio. So Zika is now an official threat to the Olympics.
Yeah, well, they're slowly chipping away at Olympians' rights. Like, first, it was, like, unprotected sex. That'll be a problem. And so every guy out there was like, that's fine. I just won't have sex. Like, that's actually a good excuse. I'll just say, oh, babe, we can't have sex. How about some head? Now that's been taken off the table. So they're like, now we're down to, like, hand jobs. Can Zika be transmitted via hand jobs?
How pumped are, like, the fat wrestlers and shot putters? So when they come back and, yo, how much action did you get? Nah, man, I played it safe. I didn't want to get Zika. It's a built-in excuse for the fat guys. Yep. Love it.
Gonna do it. Also, I got another quick Brazil update for you. The $80 million Velodrome, which is just, like, a track for bicycles.
Yep.
They're not going to get that done. So...
Oh, well. I didn't even know bicycles were in the Olympics, so...
Yeah, why do they need a track for bicycles? Like, isn't that what the roads are for?
Right. That you probably already built with shitty concrete that's going to fall apart as soon as everyone leaves Rio.
So, I guess if you're planning on watching the bike races, that's too bad for you.
Sorry. Sad trombone music for you right there. Do you have an X Games update for us?
Yeah, quick X Games update. The X Games has lost their fastball. They canceled... yesterday's events.
Wait, can I ask you a quick question before you start saying that? Is Sal Masekela still doing it?
I don't know.
Okay, keep going.
Yeah, I'm gonna guess yes, but I have no idea, honestly.
You're going to guess Sal's calendar was open for X Games 45 or whatever it is?
Sal will take the call if you reach out to him. They canceled all the events yesterday because of rain. And these are the X Games, right? Why are you canceling events because of rain? If anything, like, it should be the Surge commercial where everybody's like running up the hill, right? And you're spraying them down with a water cannon. That should actually be an event in the X Games. Like, why is King of the Mountain not an event?
King of the Raft too? Yeah, just get a raft in the middle of the ocean and just last man standing on it. That's a great event.
Plus, nobody's died this year, so X Games lost their fastball.
Should we do it?
No, I don't think so.
Come on, Hank, do it.
You're doing it too much. I don't care.
I don't care. Take the man card, Hank. X Games man card, hand it over. All right, we're going to end the show with the fight on the crying Jordan meme. It's never ending. It's reached the New York Times style section. Here's something you never thought of, though. You thought it was just a fun meme, kind of the internet just playing around. No big deal. Turns out, there's an element of flawed masculinity at play. You have a masculine star who expresses vulnerability, and people simultaneously mock and celebrate that. So you think you're having some harmless fun on the internet. Turns out you're a sexist, and you're basically saying guys can't cry, and crying is for chicks. So poo on you.
I knew that it was too fun of a thing. Eventually, it would get turned into like you're sexist or you're racist if you use it. The racist take is about 3 months away.
Yeah, I'm just shocked it took this long for the crying Jordan meme to become problematic, because people have fought it in every which way. It's not funny. I'm sick of it. You should respect Jordan. All of those have been shot down. Now it is socially problematic to us to be making fun of a man crying.
That's how you kill it, is by saying something like that.
Did you hear me take all the air out of the room? Did you hear that fart that was just let out? Because that's what that article is. And here's a shocker. I hope you're sitting down. I'm actually looking at you. You are sitting down. The woman who wrote this, her background for her Twitter, all cats.
And I also saw within like 20 minutes of it being published, she and all her cats in the background got crying Jordan. Like immediately. Like,
what are you doing? She honestly has 100 cat faces in her background. Those are just, you just basically said
they're targets.
That's a
goal line. Every cat might as well just have a target on his eyes, on his terrible little eyes.
Yeah.
If I were that lady and I knew that I was publishing this article, first thing I do is I turn my Twitter account, like I turn my avatar into just like black, just all black.
Yeah.
And you make yourself uncrying Jordanable.
Yeah, she has hundreds of faces in her Twitter that are all ready for the crying Jordan. So good job. Thanks for pointing out how problematic it is. I'm sure the internet will now stop with the crying Jordans after your wonderful piece. That's our show for the day. We will see you on Wednesday.
It's PTI.
Pardon My Take, presented by Barstool Sports.